What's up, y'all? This is Tim Einicka with The Library. Make sure to follow me on Twitter. That's at The Library with Tim. That's at The Library with Tim. Also, check me out on rapstation.com for my full interviews and also updates from all the And You Don't Stop crew.
Give it up for Naughty by Nature!
On February 24th, in front of a packed Gramercy Theater in New York City, Naughty by Nature celebrated the 20th anniversary of the hit single Hip Hop Hooray. That's right, it's been 20 years since Hip Hop Hooray dropped. Naughty by Nature is currently on tour celebrating 20 years of Hip Hop Hooray, but I had a chance to catch up to Tretch to talk about 20 years of Hip Hop Hooray and his career. This interview will air in three parts. Man, the Hip Hop Hooray tour is celebrating 20 years of the landmark single Hip Hop Hooray. Can you believe it's been 20 years since you wrote that? What has been the reaction so far?
I mean, it's been amazing. Each spot we hit, it's like we've seen fans that never seen a Naughty by Nature show before. So, I mean, it's like an honor for us to be able to get up there, hit them, and leave them with something that, you know, a lot of them, we speak to them, and they like, we never had opportunity to, but we glad y'all still out there because they don't make this type of music anymore.
I want to go into the writing process of this track. Did you and Vinny, did you guys write together on it? Because there's parts where you guys go back and forth, or did you just go to your separate places, your corners, and do your own thing?
Yeah. I mean, basically, I just laid the blueprint out, and he had none of the only thing he had to do was go up in there and drop the lyrics. So, yeah, I was back then just really into just making the tightest songs possible. So a lot of people, he was there, so it was like, why won't you just rhyme on these tracks as well, to give it a different element of performance when we on stage. So during those times, I was just writing his lyrics into it, so it'd just make the whole vibe of the show that much more hyper. And plus, take a load off of me. It's a lot of lyrics to be doing within those hours on stage, so it was kind of me putting a break on me somewhat.
Right. Actually, I want to go into that. The first album you guys did was obviously very heavy you, and then the second, the second album, 1993, incorporated a lot of Vinny. Was that the plan from the get go, to kind of slowly bring Vinny on, onto the mic?
Well, it wasn't actually the plan. What happened was the people started asking, like, when are we gonna start hearing you on some more records? You know, like after Uptown Anthem came out, they heard him on that as well. So with the first album, he basically wasn't on there at all. So with the fans, you know, we love giving them what they want. So that's when I went in the lab and like, you know what, we're going to start writing you in from more of a lyrical standpoint in the group, because that's what the fans are asking for.
So how did, when you guys were started doing that, how did your own writing process change when, I guess, from the first album to the second album?
I mean, with me, I'm just a beast on it. It's like, right, even if you never heard Naughty by Nature with an album out at the time, if we were touring in a year, missed a year, or whatever else, I always stayed in the studio writing, whether it was just unreleased stuff or with different groups or cliques or like the whole local hip hop scene in Jersey. So I never stopped writing. I've been writing forever, and it's like a hobby to me. To get in there and get in the studio. I love being in the studio, whether it's like a project that's slated to come out or not. I just love being in there and creating. I love that.
One thing a lot of people appreciate about, especially the second album, you guys, I think you did this purposely, you guys never glorified the street. You just kind of spoke to what the street was about.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't you tempted to, I guess, do the glorification part of it?
I mean, I don't really know. None of it, the way we did it, like I said, was even planned. We knew nothing about making hit albums or anything. We just had our own type of swag, our own type of way of doing things. I always was more of a writer where I didn't want you to get it on the first go. I wanted you to figure it out. You know what I mean? I didn't want everybody to be able to just say my lyrics. I look at it like a singer. You know what I mean? You can sing along with Mariah Carey, but you know you can't hit those notes.
True.
You know what I mean? So I always wanted to have it like, okay, I want you to be able to be with me and rock with me, but you're not going to listen to me and be like, you know what, I could do it better than him. Hmm. You're gonna respect my chops.
What keeps you, I guess, what keeps you going after 22 years?
I mean, it gets to a point where it's all you know. Yeah. You know, we've been doing this. Our first record came out, we was just turning 20.
Wow.
So it was like, this is what we've been doing since high school, junior high. First round my role, I was 12 years old. So after the Sugar Hill Gang and Cold Crush Crash Crew, all that era, it was like, this is a part of the game I need to be in. Mm. I love this music, this culture a little bit too much. I can't just, it's not enough records for me to go out and buy. I got all the records I could get, all the underground tapes. It's like, I need to make my own stuff now.
I read in an old interview that you, after the first album dropped, you didn't, I mean, they asked, do you think you would be doing this 22 years later? And you said, you know, after the first album, I didn't think so. So I was wondering, why was that the case? But also, what would you think you'd be doing if for some reason this didn't work out? What would have been your second career choice?
Wow. It really wasn't a good look for me, because after junior high, after high school and everything else, like, well, really during high school, the streets really had took me over. So it was like my sports aspirations and all of that was down the tubes, because I, like, high school and everything else, I was real good in baseball and football, but I never pursued it in high school because I was in the streets. So if this hip hop thing ain't go along, I would have been in trouble.
Oh, really?
I would have been in trouble. I had to do something along this line. Had to.
So
it would have just been a regular 9-to-5.
So I mean, so writing for you is like, I guess, kind of a therapeutic thing or whatnot.
Yeah, it's everything. It's therapeutic. It's inspirational. It keeps me going. It keeps the mind sharp. It keeps me always, like, reaching out there to figure out what's going to be that next niche and that next, well, what the game going to be like 10 years from now.
Mm.
Is my music still going to be relevant 10 years from now that I'm writing now? So I never wanted to be to the point where it's dated.
Mm.
You know, when you hear it, it's just good music. It's not like, you know what, that sounds like it was made in the 80s or the 90s or 2000, the first decade of 2000. It's just good music. So that's what I thrive off of.
That's part one of my interview with Tretch. We'll continue this interview next week. This is The Library with Tim. Make sure to follow me on Twitter. That's at The Library with Tim. And keep checking www.rapstation.com for updates from all the And You Don't Stop crew. Peace. Trying to be handsome, shrinking what you're thinking, 'cause I'm vamping. What's up, y'all? This is Tim Einicka with The Library. Make sure to follow me on Twitter. That's at The Library with Tim. That's at The Library with Tim. Also, check me out on rapstation.com for my full interviews and also updates from all the And You Don't Stop crew. Here's part two of my interview with Tretch from Naughty by Nature. A lot of people know you for OPP, Feel Me Flow, Uptown Anthem, and of course, Hip Hop Array. But I was wondering, are there songs that you wish people knew, like, or any of the songs that I guess the masses have slept on?
Nah, not really, because the true fans and stuff is crazy. They know album songs. You know what I mean? So it's like, even if we do a song that we never had a single for on the show, I mean, the funniest thing to me is like going to Japan and stuff, and they don't even speak English, but they can recite every word that you're saying off of any song that you play, whether it was a single or not. So it's like, I think every song that we put out, every single that we put out at the time was right on time. It was for the era, it was for the people, and it was good choices. It was good choices. Because all the singles that we put out had a real long life. And, you know, like you said, it's still out there 22 years later. We could perform the songs and the crowd is going crazy like they brand new.
I want to go into one of the tracks on 1993, Ready for Them, with featuring Heavy D.
There comes the man you dig, the man you dug, the man you love, the man you hug. So come get some of the funky drum. Here I come, lights, camera, funny, punani, action. I'm the Don in the city, known for the nitty gritty. Consider me Big Willie, consider you itty bitty. I'm the youngest in the family of six. I've heard it with chicks, and then I learned tricks in the ghetto mix.
Wow.
Heavy D passed away a little over 2 years ago. So, you know, just for the fans, what was it like, one, working with Heavy? And two, like, what kind of person was he?
Man, Hav was a champ. He was a trooper and one of the original founders, man, of the quick tongue lyrical spit game. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was complicated with his lyrics, and he was smooth, and he was a big boy that was out there dancing like he was kidding play size. You know, so just to see, it was so many different amazing heights to Heavy D. He was the coolest, one of the coolest people you could meet. Like, everything was a smile on his face, everything, like, it wasn't a problem, let's just make it happen type of attitude. And when it came time to make them records, it wasn't nothing for him to go in and write his and knock it out like he already had it done. He'll come in there and tear it down. So he's truly missed. We love him to death, and his legacy is definitely going to live long.
I want to ask you about a couple more songs, and I have a lot of favorites. Uptown Anthem, I've always thought it in a weird way as a kind of a tribute to the rhyming style of Kane and Rakim.
Me and Ben Rock went spots in flocks and groups and troops with Timbo boots and jail suits. That's how I roll when my hair do dope. When the will I got won and competition ain't dope. Beat you, break you, broke you, smoke you, take you, send you to your little group on mute sooner or later.
Were they kind of the inspiration behind your flow, or, you know, or is this, I mean, obviously it's your own flow as well. And also,
yeah,
what was the inspiration also behind that song?
I think artists I'm a combination of everybody I grew up on. Everybody I admire. Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, Slick Rick, Coogee Rap, Run DMC, LL Cool J. I feel as though, like, when I first started, in order for me to get my own style, all of them was in me. Because that's what I grew up listening to, and I know when I first came out, I sounded more like LL Cool J than anybody else.
Going into another song, Everything Gonna Be Alright. Was that the hardest song you've ever written? Just all over. I mean, was it a hard song to write, or did that just come out?
I think probably the hardest song for me to write was Mourn You Till I Join You, the tribute to Tupac. Okay. That was probably the hardest song for me to write.
It was 90 on the BE tour when we met. Damn, don't even seem like 7 years past. Both roadies now homies out the hood on the scene. You did the Humpty with the U, I did the Walk with the Queen. Was a dream, smoking and drinking through Apogee. I'm still in back.
I mean, you guys were close friends, right?
Yeah. So Ghetto Bastard was basically like a biography of my life.
Right.
So it was actually easy to write because I knew the story.
Right.
Yeah, and the track was so melodic and everything else. Certain songs, I'd say, like, once I hear the beat, the beat write the rhymes, because I don't know even know where the lyrics just come from. But before I turn around, it's like the song is done, and it's just everything it should have been. And some get nuts, some catch a bad one, and some leave the job half done. I was one who never had and always mad, never knew my dad, mother the fact. Well, anyway, I did pick up, next they click up, see many stick ups, cause critters had to trigger hiccups. I couldn't get a job, nappy hair was not allowed. My mother couldn't afford us, all she had to throw me out. I walked the strip, with just a clip who wanna hit. They got them quick, I had to eat this money, could it spit. I threw in praise, I wasn't paid enough. I kept them on cause I couldn't afford a haircut. I got laughed at, I got chumped, I got.
It's amazing that for you, a lot of rhymes, you know, come off effortlessly, and it doesn't sound like it's coming off effortlessly. It, like, each lyric obviously has a thought to it. And obviously your flow is tight, and it's been you know, it's been amazing for the last 20, 22 years. So Chuck said, I just want you to get your reaction to this. Treacher's a king, a real cat who has embraced the equality of rappers in regions terribly overlooked. Naughty's are ambassadors. I wanted to just get your reaction to that.
Wow. I mean, coming from Chuck, man, he's one of the originals. He's one of the ones that, like I said, in that era, Public Enemy, that's all, that was another group that all I listened to. So I guess the militant side of me was the Chuck side that rolled off on me. You know what I mean? The more politically influenced type of lyrics definitely came from spawning from the vibe from Chuck D. So, I mean, we learned a lot from everybody that's coming. Another thing we learned from Public Enemy, which Public Enemy was the first to do, was like just really brand their clothing and their logo. You knew that PE logo anywhere. You knew when you saw Public Enemy in bold print, you wanted one of those shirts. You wanted one of those hats. So when we came out, we was like, yo, even from the days when, before Naughty, when we were New Style, we had our own jackets, we had our own, you know what I mean, our whole look and everything else, because we known, like, yo, we got to go out there and really brand our brand and put it out there so the world knows it, even if the brand ends up being bigger than the group itself, you know, because we never knew how many records we would end up selling. So we were doing everything on the mind state of, you know what, we need to really just put full force in everything to make sure this group is going to be successful one way or the other, and people are going to know this group once they mention it years down the line as one of, we wanted to be known as one of their favorite groups.
Was it, when you guys first came out, I mean, obviously this rap wasn't that as popular as it is now. I mean, there was, you know, in the 90s, there were so many driving forces against it. I mean, some radio stations refused to play it. Was that ever a deterrent for you guys, or was that just more of an inspiration?
That was an inspiration, because we was like, look, man, we got to come out here and get a part of this game. Mm. Like, we didn't know what the radio stations was going to do. We didn't know what the video outlets was going to play. We thought, like, really, our stuff was going to be too hard for them to even accept, and especially when we had, like, the concept or the title. I mean, concept OPP, we was like, as soon as they find out what this means, nobody's going to play this song. So we was like, yo, let's just go for it.
Wow.
Let's go for it. Put it out there. It's good music to us. It's catchy. We like it. So if the label is behind it, they're going to work it. Hey, what we got to lose?
Right.
We got a shot at it. Let's go. And this, we ain't in the business of being scared. If we made it in the streets, we could come out on this industry. It ain't nothing that's going to deter anything that we want to do out here. And we had the great leader, Queen Latifah, so we were really feeling ourselves like, we got this.
That was part two of my interview with Treach from Naughty by Nature. Follow me on Twitter, at The Library with Tim. That's at The Library with Tim. And keep it locked to www.thelibrarywithtim.com. www.rapstation.com. Peace.
You're about to feel the chronicles of a bionicle, lyrically spitting, dismissing. I'm on a mission and just hitting. Now it's written and kitten, hitting with mittens. I'm missing, wishing, man, listen. I glisten like sun and water while fishing. Bust the move in this word, serve words with nerve embedded. I said it word, damn, you nerd, man, you heard. Coming from the town of Illy and alleys are full of fillies and rallies. Suckers get silly and sally, them founding alleys and rally. Really, so here we go. Now holla if you hear me though. Come and feel me. Flow. Never nixing with tricking brothers, bitching over fixes that ain't fitting to be hitting for nothing. Spitting things is bitten and getting written off. You're like a bad, platter, boy, you're pissing me off. Boy, you even started, so what, so long. See you fly by my tribe. How else could I say it when you play a tribe? Boom, bye bye, bye bye. On point like decimals, manhandling new crews, partying with the zoo crew, looking for the pink and poo-poos. I thought you knew two stone styles of stamina, jamming, and while we're planning a jam, we bust with a party, amateur damages, managing, damaging mice, men, and even mannequins. You're a fan again, now my one that knows the man again. Naughty's back like vertebrae's word to hey, I hope the way I show you, pray I flow. Steady breaking to the boogie, so bang time to slang bang and watch all the boo tag tags hang. Until they fizz up, rizz up like you're with us. If not, zip up your lip up, whip up. Hits with ransom, foul styles, get and ones. We came back cause we heard if hip-hop needed another anthem. Black like Noah, in fact, then for ya. And we was back in the days with the justice. We'd have been known as the flowers. Revenue since the 70s, find me. So we went crazy in the 80s, so we woke his hineys in the 90s. Oops, the naughties, troops in sections of 40. So clap your hands and hold your shorty, I'm naughty.
What's up, y'all? This is Tim Einenko with The Library. Make sure to follow me on Twitter. That's at The Library with Tim. That's at The Library with Tim. Also, check me out on rapstation.com for my full interviews and also updates from all the And You Don't Stop crew.
Massively, 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 massive call, not to by nature.
What is it like, for those who don't know, what is it like working with Queen Latifah?
It's like working with royalty. When you got somebody that's in the game that had the respect that she had, that had the know-how, had her own company, starting her own businesses, management, records out, this, that, and the third, movies, you like, yo, this is a great person to follow the lead on right here. And we just from the same neighborhood, so it all clicked. Like, the stars just was aligned by doing that. And to see somebody that you know in talent shows and everything else, to see them finally come out and make it, and then want to make you a part of their enterprise and their empire, I mean, it was just hands down like, wow, this is basically a dream coming true.
You obviously have been, you know, you obviously think towards the future, and you're obviously not just an MC, but you're an actor. So I was wondering, what, you've been in a boatload of films and television series. What made you decide to go into acting?
Latifah. She actually had me read for the role of Bishop in Juice.
Right.
Pop got it because he was a great actor. Me at the time, I'm just going in there reading lines. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But it was an opportunity for me to just try it. So what I did is went in, did the best I could do, and it wasn't good enough, but it opened my eyes to a whole different world. I never thought in my life like I'll be going out reading for acting roles. Never.
Not Even Nature obviously has a bunch of albums. I was wondering, what's your favorite album and your favorite song by you guys so far?
Wow. We always get asked that, but it's like, it's the answer is like the truth. It's like each song is your kid. Each album is a part of your family, so you love them all. I mean, it's different types of song. It's so many over the years, it's not really one that I say, you know what, my favorite song, because all of them are different. All of them, it's not like, okay, every song Naughty comes out with is that type of club anthem, chanty, sing-along type of record. You know, I maybe would have one if all of them were the same in bass, but I like different styles of records and music. That's why I write them like that. I love being just out the box and do things that no one else is doing. I like the hardcore records. I like the party records. I like the tearjerkers. I like the sexy records. So, man, I like albums. I like complete, well-rounded, entertaining albums. So, man, I love them all. Like, I could get an album of ours and I could sit down and listen to it and just be like, wow. Like, it'd just take me through a time machine and I'll sit down and appreciate it.
How do you stop from repeating what you write?
I don't know. It's a pretty good question, because, I mean, I think with me, I've always been, like, real deep into different concepts of television, reading and different countries, just going in and finding out different cultures. And I think just expanding the brain, if you just stuck on the same thing, you're going to sound the same. If you haven't ventured out of your comfortable block in your mental, it's like everything will sound the same and you start repeating it. But it's like me, I always, if anything even sounds remotely similar to something else I do, I go on a whole different path.
Oh, wow.
Because that's the last thing I want to do, like anybody comparing, well, those albums there sounded just alike, or what they're talking about now is the same thing they was talking about 20 years ago. Hmm. When if you're still talking about that, it's like you're kind of trapped. You really haven't expanded. Because with times changing, it's like it's always, to me, every day that pops up is a whole different chapter of something going on, something to write about, whether it's the news. Like, I could sit and watch the news all day. I could sit and watch Animal Planet. I could sit and watch bios on different countries starting and wars, and you know what I mean? I'm just interested in a whole different facet of, you know, just the regular, what may be your regular 4 or 5 channels that people watch on television. I want to see what's going on all over.
Mm.
So I think that plays a part in keeping the rhymes relevant, up to date, and not going back and just repeating and sounding the same over and over again.
I think one thing that a lot of fans appreciate about you is that you could spit without a beat, and it kind of sounds like you're as you're spitting, it kind of sounds like the beat. There is a beat there, but obviously there isn't a beat. So I want to know, like, what would your favorite beat be to spit on?
I don't know. It'd probably be like me. I come up on the era of the breakbeat. Mm. Substitutions and break and like original drum tracks. So I like open boom bat types of tracks. You know what I mean? Mm. Where you can hear the lyrics.
Right.
Where it's not like, you know what, that song is hot because I like the beat.
Right.
The beat plays a very important part, but I want you to like the song that I'm on because of my lyrics as well. I want it to be a full package. So when a lot of the records that I do write, I write to no tracks. So I guess that's why it sounds like, you know, because I write it off a beat in my head. And I guess that's why rhythms could come, different rhyme formats could come as well, because you're not listening to the track and it's basically baiting the way you're going to spit the flow on it. You're making up your own flow before it even hits the track.
Oh, so when you're writing, you have a totally different beat in your head, and then
Usually I get an idea for a rhyme, and then I'll just start writing that. And it's funny that you said before, like, how do you keep from doing? If it sounds like a similar flow that I did, I'll switch it right there before it even starts.
Oh, wow.
So it's hard to explain, but that's the method to the madness. It's like sometimes I can write to a track, and a lot of times I don't. Like, if I'm on a roll, like now with technology and everything, so you can get an email to your phone, beats. You can always have a track.
Right.
But before, it wasn't like that. You had to wait for somebody actually to give it to you. I had to wait for Kay. You know, we might have just did a whole week in the studio, knocked out 3-4 songs, and now he has to go back in the lab and make some other tracks. So before, with the waiting process on any tracks that was coming through, I never had to wait. I'm like, yo, let me just put some ideas together now so when the tracks come, I kind of got a head start.
Real quick, what's the best way for people to stay in the loop of what you're doing?
Oh, they can hit me up on Twitter at Trigger Tretch, TriggerTrech. That's my blast out to everybody. You can always get me there. So let them know. Hit me up on Trigger Tretch on Twitter, and from the tours, from the movies, from any and everything that I'm doing. It's promoted straight on there, and it's me directly. It's not like I got somebody else handling it. It's me straight up. So they could get up close and personal and really be a part of the ride.
Hip-Hop Hooray Tours. Can't believe it's been 20 years. Not Even Nature's the group. Tretch is the artist that I'm speaking to. Tretch, thanks so much for joining me on the library today.
Thanks a lot, sir. One love.